This is the parts 1896 to 1914, part 7, solo B part, dealing with number 75 on the paper. The first recording failed completely, and so this is the item 75 and 76 material. When Taft defeated Bryan in the 1908 election, but shortly after becoming president, his presidency was accused of being less than progressive oriented, as was the Roosevelt administration. Three scandals seem to illustrate this. They're missing from your review sheet. Let's list them now for all part of 75. They're not really scandals, they're just controversies in which Taft is considered to be not a hard charger leader of the progressive reform movement, like Roosevelt had been. They include the Pinchot-Ballinger controversy, spelled Pinchot-Ballinger, Ballinger, the Payne, Payne, Aldrich, Aldrich, Payne-Aldrich tariff of 1909, and the Speaker fight of 1910, or the fight for the control of the Speaker of the House. Once again, the common nature of all three of these is they seem to suggest that Taft is either one of or is under the influence of the hack politicians who are not progressive-minded, progressive reform-minded. In the Pinchot-Ballinger controversy, Gifford Pinchot, a close friend of Roosevelt's and a strong promoter of the conservation movement, like John Muir, founder of the Sierra movement, they were friends and buddies of Roosevelt. Pinchot, the chief forester of the Agriculture Department, accused Richard Ballinger, the Department of Interior Secretary, of illegally and inappropriately leasing public lands for commercial use and taking kickbacks as a result. After an investigation was performed, it was discovered that Ballinger was innocent of all charges, and because of the ruckus that Pinchot had created by his accusations, he was fired by Taft. A close friend of Roosevelt's, Pinchot went to Africa, where Roosevelt was hunting lions. He just left the Amazon area of South America, and told him of what had happened. And the story of what Pinchot told him in 1910, combined with already the information concerning the Payne-Aldrich tariff and the Speaker fight, convinced Roosevelt in 1910 that he would 2 years later seek the Republican nomination of the 1912 election. Or as he would say it, his hat was in the ring, he'd be running. Disappointed with Taft and his and the reports he was hearing about his unwillingness to pursue progressive reform. The second example of this is the Payne-Aldrich tariff, Payne-Aldrich. It started out to be a tariff reduction, and tariff reduction was considered progressive reform. It was backed and supported in the beginning by Democrats, obviously so, who'd be low tariff, as well as what are called insurgent Republicans, or progressive reforming Republicans. That coalition organized together to reduce the tariff that had last passed in 1897, the Dingley tariff, against the hardcore pro-business Republicans who'd wanted to keep it higher. When all the fighting and debating and earmarks and addendas and additions and changes were put on the bill, it turned out rather than lower, it was a higher tariff. And when asked how Taft could abide by such a anti-reform, Taft was foolish enough to admit, first, that he didn't read the law, and second, that it was the best tariff the Republican Party had ever passed. And the third incident of that painted up Taft as being less than progressive involved a fight over trying to change the power of the Speaker of the House's authority. At one time, all the way till 1910, the second most powerful person in Washington was the Speaker of the House after the President, because he alone could control what laws, what bills made it under the floor of the House and which did not, and thus could prevent or facilitate all legislation. In 1910, the Speaker of the House was the powerful Uncle Joe Cannon of Illinois, who was stripped of his in a fight among insurgent Republicans, Democrats against hardline Republican supporters. the power of the Speaker of the House was stripped, and instead a Rules Committee was created, which is the way things work now since 1910, the committee that decides the length of debate and which issues will be discussed, which committees bills will go to, thus drastically reducing the power of the Speaker of the House. Now, that is more democratic and more efficient, so it fits progressive reform ideas, but the reason it's in our discussion is because when asked about this, Taft backed Joe Cannon rather than showed his enthusiasm for the changes of the Rules Committee edition. So again, one more time, these three incidences in a domestic sense sent the signal that Taft did not pursue progressive reform like Roosevelt did, and especially hit Roosevelt hard, who wanted to throw his candidacy, throw his name into the race for the candidacy of the Republican Party in 1912. And of course, as we know, he won't get it, but he'll still run as a third-party Bull Moose candidate, which is to be discussed at the next lecture. So that's Taft's domestic policy. In foreign policy, Philander C. Knox, Secretary of State for Taft, announced in 1909 what was called dollar diplomacy. What this translates as is that our foreign policy in regards to Latin America will put our investments and profits first over everything else, which would include human rights or with stability, etc. And so how that would work out is that whenever American investments like banana plantations in Central America or copper mines in Chile were threatened by angry citizens who were upset about working for near starvation wages while the profits of their resources flow into American profits, if they became rebellious or troublemaking, there was a number of ways we would participate. Generally, we would give backup arms and aid to a dictator who would keep the peace. If that wasn't good enough, we would change and put a new dictator in that would protect our investments. And if necessary, on some occasions, the placement of troops in certain areas, such as in Nicaragua and Dominican Republic, where troops sometimes stayed as long as 10 to 15 years. Of course, all of this, whether it's backing up a dictator, overturning a government, or leaving troops in place down there, all of it based on protecting the profits of our investments in those areas when the economies were so bad for the natives, as well as the interventionism, created a greater resentment towards the United States, which you can see is a pattern going from the Spanish-American War, the Platt Amendment, Roosevelt Corollary, the way we got the Panama Canal, into now dollar diplomacy. So from about 1898 through 1928, there is a period there of a good 30 years of where creating ill will in Latin America, which will help explain two things in the future when we get to it: the good neighbor policy of the 1930s and the trouble with Castro in the 1960s. So that takes care of the Taft administration, both domestic and foreign policy.